Bibles to Matthew 6. Let's read our text this morning, Matthew 6. Let's start reading in verse number 1. And we'll read all the way to verse number 9. So if you'll follow along as I start reading in verse number 1 of Matthew 6. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Do you know what that tells us? That tells us that God wants to reward us because of our giving. Well, that's a powerful verse. He wants to reward us because of our giving. Verse 2, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So not only did God say he wants to reward you because of your giving, he tells you how you can receive that reward, how you can be rewarded. And how you receive reward because of your giving is based upon how you give. You give for him, you see, not to be seen of men. Yeah. And by the way, that is manifested in our attitude after we give. Verse 3. But when thou doest alms, let not thine left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Now verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. And so now we have another reason or way God wants to reward you. First, by how you give, and next, by how you pray. He wants to reward us because of our prayers. But you know, often we don't know how to pray. Verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Let me explain this to you, that it doesn't mean we can't pray in church. It's telling us the motive here, that when we pray, we're praying to God, and we're not praying to be seen of men. Not that we aren't at times seen, but that's not why we're praying. We're praying because we love him. And we want to be close to him. We want to have an intimate walk with him. That's why we pray. And he wants to reward us. He does. Verse 7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Repetitious things, canned prayers. And God is not interested in that. Why? Because he wants an intimate walk with you. He wants to be close to you. And often we still don't know how that works. Verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth the things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Say it together, would you, with me? Verse 9, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So when we pray, that's how we pray. This is the manner we pray. So let's have prayer now. And God willing, we'll have an encouraging message on prayer this morning that'll inspire us to have a closer walk with God. That's my desire for you this morning, to have a closer walk with him. Father, we pray your blessings today. And Lord, we need you. We need your word. And I pray that you'd, Lord, work in us, inspire us, Lord, to be motivated to walk with you, to be close to you. Help us to see that we can have that. You want that. You want to reward our lives. You want to reward our prayer life. So I pray, God, for your help. I pray for your blessings. I pray that you'd, Lord, do the work that only you can do. Lord, empty me of self. Use me. Help me to be filled with your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one thing about being on top of a mountain that high is, you know, the elevation, it takes away your energy. My heart was racing, you know. But it's so neat to stand on top of a mountain because it seems, especially the highest point in the United States, the continental U.S., that everything is below you at that point. And if you, you know, think spiritually, it could be that in the continental U.S. that I'm as close to God as anyone else, you know, literally speaking. I mean, close. But you know, God wants to be close to you. And you don't have to go to a mountain to be close to Him. You can be as close to Him right here. And our hearts need to be in tune with Him. Our hearts need to have the right attitude. But you know, I think sometimes we want to be close to God. But the knowledge, knowing how to be close to Him, it escapes us. And we need to be taught these things. God desperately wants to bless our life. And over again, He tells us how we can receive His blessings. And even here, He tells us openly that if we will give, and we will do it with the right spirit, then He will bless, He will reward our giving. And by the way, this maybe could be a subtle reproof. This could be a subtle instruction in righteousness that we would give in obedience to God. Listen, I don't check the giving records on purpose. I don't. Because that's not, you know, the way that we operate. We're not going to send a bill to you. Valley Avenue Baptist Church, bill, you owe this much tithe. We're not going to do that. Your giving is between you and God. And it needs to remain that way. But not only do we as an administration, as a leadership of the church, and as a church that we wouldn't judge that way. Any of you guys that count the offerings, we got to remember that we're not the judges here. That people give according as God would lead them to give. And they would give, our prayer would be that they would give in obedience to God. And so we do it on this side, or at least it'd be our goal to do it on this side. But you need to do it on your side. You need to give as God would lead you. And you need to give with the spirit that says, I'll give cheerfully. And then as I put my offering, watch, in the offering plate and release this thing, I'm releasing it to God. I'm not keeping track of where the money's going. I'm not necessarily keeping track of, you know, all of the different ramifications of this. You know, not that we shouldn't be wise or keep track of things. I'm just simply saying our spirit, our heart, is to give for Him. And He'll bless you for that. He'll bless you for that. And then He talks about prayer. Now, prayer should be an intimate time, but God wants to bless your prayer life. And we need to have the same spirit when we pray, that we would pray speaking to God, that we wouldn't do it so just that we would be blessed or so that we would get an answer to our prayer. This afternoon, we're going to do another message on prayer, and we're going to answer this question: why sometimes are our prayers not being answered? And we'll answer that question, why our prayers don't get answered sometimes. But we want answers to our prayers, and we want to be blessed, and God wants to bless us, but sometimes it's because we don't know how to go to God. We don't know how to approach Him in prayer, and so we need to remember that we give for Him and for no other reason, and when we pray for Him, and because we want an intimate, personal conversation with God and for no other reason. He is our King, and so when we approach Him as a King, and you're His servant. We bow, don't we? We bow our hearts at the least in reverence to our God who is worthy. He's your King. But He wants to be your friend. He is your King. And He deserves reverence as our King, but He wants to be our friend. He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to have an intimate conversation with us, but not just like a friend. You're my friends. Jesus said, you know, speaking to His mother and His brothers who came and wanted to talk to Jesus, and they knocked on the door as Jesus was teaching His disciples, and one of the disciples came to Jesus and said, your mother and your brothers are here. And Jesus said, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And then He looked at the church and He said, behold, my mother and my brothers. This is our family. And why are you and I brothers and sisters? Why? Because we have the same Father. In Christ, our Father is God in heaven. And he wants to fellowship with us, not just as friends, but as a father-child relationship. He wants to have that intimate kind of walk with us. Now, we go to God, and commonly it's one of those things like, where, how do I do this? How do I have that closeness to God? And it might be you came this morning and you're not as close to God as you want to be. Maybe you try to pray, but you fail to know how to establish that intimacy with God. And this morning, you're in the right place because I think that we have all the instructions we need when our heart is right to have a close walk with Him so that it's not going through the motions anymore. Aren't you tired of going through the motions? Aren't you? Aren't you tired of not walking close to Him? Don't you want to get on your knees and know He's there? He's Jehovah Shammah. I am that I am there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow thee all the days of thy life. He wants you to know that. He wants you to remember every time you get on your knees that He's there as close to you as your neighbor is. And that intimacy is established when we go to Him, when we approach His throne with this spirit, when we understand who He is, when we know who He is. It changes our spirit, our attitude, and it prepares us to walk with Him because He's not just some guy. He's God. He's our King, and He wants to walk with us. He's our Father. He wants to be close to you. My kids and I, you know, I want to be close to them. My boys, I want to be their hero, you know? I'm okay. Grandpa's their hero. I mean, obviously, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with my boys. They talk about some of you men. And they say, oh yeah, so-and-so in the church. And I'm okay if you're their heroes. But you know what? I want, like Solomon said to his son, my son, give me thine heart. I want to be your hero. I want to have that closeness. As my boys growing up, you know, and I would teach them things or, you know, help them with things. You know, I would commonly stop them. Maybe they're running through my office, doing this, doing that. I'd stop them, and I'd get down on a knee like this, and I'd just grab their shoulders like that, and I'd say, you look at me, and they say, Dad, I know what you're going to say. I'm saying, how do you know what I'm going to say? I didn't even say it yet. He says, I know what you're going to say, Dad. He says, you're going to say that you love me. And I said, no. No, you don't understand. And I'll grab their shoulders, and I'll say, you look at me in my eyes. And once I get their attention, I'll say, I love you. You see, I want them to know that they have my heart and I want their heart. And that's a father-son relationship. I think the same type of relationship that God wants to have with us. That he'll grab us. He wants to look in our eyes. And He wants to have intimacy with us in that way. And when we come to Him, we have to come to Him that way. And we can. We can. He teaches us exactly how to do it. The disciples, earlier on, before Jesus taught this in Luke 11, you don't need to turn there, but the parallel of this particular text, the disciples said to Jesus, will you teach us how to pray like John taught his disciples how to pray? And Jesus says, pray in this manner, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He wanted them to understand how to pray. And by teaching them how to pray, He taught them, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And you can't have a more intimate start in a conversation with God, with anyone, than to look at God. To go to the throne boldly as Christ, or rather Paul teaches us in Hebrews, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace that we might find a grace and mercy there to help in the time of need. Hebrews teaches us that. And God wants us to have a closeness to Him. And He tells us we can approach Him boldly. And so we come to Him and we say, our Father in heaven, remember who we're talking to. Now I want you to remember there's a difference in a relationship that's established in Christ at salvation and a fellowship that's established because of a closeness. There's a difference. And parents would understand this distinctly. Relationship is established at birth. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And when you get born again, you're in the family of God. He's your Father, you're His child. I witnessed to a man one time when I was in high school. I said, I spoke of this concept of being born again, and here's what this man said. He said, well, everybody's God's child. The problem with that comment is that it's not true. Everybody isn't God's child. The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 44, as Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, he says, you are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye shall do. And so spiritually speaking, just because we're a human being in this world today being created by God doesn't mean he is our spiritual heavenly father. That's established, the relationship is established when we're born again, when we're born into the family of God, which isn't a religion at all. It's a relationship that's established at birth in Christ. And so this morning, if you're here and you don't know for sure if you were to die today that you'd go to heaven, and your relationship with God is not established, and I want you to know this morning, he's not your father. And the way that you get that dealt with is by humbling your heart. And first of all, admitting to it. Admitting that, you know, my relationship with God is established by faith, by grace through faith in Christ. And not of works, not of my outward deeds, not my baptism, not going through the ceremonies of the church, ordinances, or all of these things. You know, it's not these things that make me saved. It's relationship. It's being born in Christ. It's established by faith when we receive Christ and we repent, we turn from our sins. He saves us. The Bible says he makes us alive. It's a spiritual renewal. I mean, it's a birth. And it's the finger of Christ. He's the one that saves your soul, and your soul is dead. That's why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, that we must be quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's what we are without Christ. We need to become alive in him. And then the relationship is established. But after we're saved, then we need to continue to develop our fellowship, our closeness to him. Just because you're saved possibly this morning doesn't mean you're as close to him as you should be. And we would understand that as parents. That just because we brought children into this world doesn't mean we're close to them. It does mean that there are children and that will never change. But to be close to them, it requires fellowship. It requires us being right with each other. And then we can have fellowship. And that's what God wants with us. He wants to make us alive through Christ, to be born again, to bring us into a relationship with him through Christ, which happens in our heart. But he doesn't just want that. He wants to have a closeness to you. And so he teaches us that about that in our time with him in prayer. He says, the way you can have this closeness with God is through your time with him in prayer. And so we come to him. And he desperately wants to have that closeness with us, that fellowship with us. And he wants to bless our life, our prayer life. And he teaches us how to pray with an intimacy. And so he says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He says, after this manner pray. Don't pray these words, but pray like this. Our Father. And here's what that means. It means you're talking to the Father when you pray. We're not talking to the Holy Spirit. We're not talking to Jesus. We are talking to the Father through Jesus Christ. And the one who gives us the ability to bring our petitions to God is the Holy Spirit. But we're speaking to the Father. And when we get on our knees, we say, Father, you're my Father. You're my King. You're my God. And we're speaking to one who is deserving of our reverence. I think we should remember that. We don't use vain repetition, do we? We don't get on our knees and say, oh, dear Father, oh, dear Father, oh, dear Father. We don't repeat prayers because God understands what we need. He knows what we need before we ask, the scripture teaches, even here in verse 7 and 8. So we come to him and we remember who he is. He's our Father. And it says, hallowed be thy name. The word hallowed means pure. It means holy. It means sanctified. And so when we get on our knees, we say, God, my Father, you're holy. You're holy. When you think of the holiness of God, man, it changes your attitude, doesn't it? When you think about who he is, it changes your spirit. It brings a natural reverence there when you understand you're holy, God. You're holy, but it changes us maybe from a bitter spirit, doesn't it? To a what kind of spirit? From an angry spirit to a what kind of spirit? Oh, but you can't help but to be thankful when you approach the throne of grace and the Father is there with his arms open, touching you, saying, I love you, my son. I love you, my daughter. And a thankfulness overwhelms us as we're grateful that we have a holy Father who loves us. I think when we say, our Father which art in heaven, there's an absolute, you can't miss this implication of this. It's a thankfulness, a love, saying, I love you, God. I love you, God. You're my God. You're my King. But how do you know who he is? How do you know him? The Bible says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy, you say it, name. What's his name? What is his name? His name is Elohim. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know that name, God, there? It's the word Elohim. So God, Elohim, is our creator. Did you know it's okay for you to identify God for who he is? Hallowed, holy, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being my creator. Thank you for your creation. Thank you for your love of your creation and you sustain creation. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, that he sustains creation. He holds the stars together. He holds energy together. When man looks at it and says, how does a star stay together? All of that ball of energy, how does it not explode? God holds it together. How about the universe? How about the earth and the orbit of the planets around the sun? Who is holding this together? What is the energy? What is the power? The Bible tells us in the beginning, the power source is God created the heaven and the earth. And he created it and he's holding it together. That's Elohim, and he's deserving of our worship. So you tell him. You say, Father, you are my creator. Hallowed be your name. Thank you. He's Jehovah. Jehovah is his covenant name. Jehovah means I am that I am. When God spoke to Moses in the mountain, Moses says, when I go to the people and I tell them who you are, who will I say you are? And he said, God said, I am that I am. What does that mean? It means he is who he is. It means he's not going to change. You change. We're fickle, aren't we? We're human beings. We go up, we go down. We're good, we're bad. We're not doing good, we're doing good. That's us. We're human beings. But God isn't like that. God is Jehovah. His name means that he keeps his promises. His name means he cannot lie. His name means I am that I am. I will be who I always am. I will not change. And you can rest in me. Hallelujah. Thank God we have a Father who won't change. And when we're on our knees, we can thank him for that. You're Elohim. You're my God. You're my creator. Woo! When you do that, everything changes in your day. When your spirit goes to that level and you, all the things you're angry about, all the things you're bitter about, all the things that got you stressed out, all your cares, all your worries, all your anxieties, all that stuff that has you in turmoil, all of it goes out the window when God shows up. And by the way, he inhabits the praises of Israel. He inhabits the praises of his people. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, that the fruit of our lips giving thanks to our God is how we praise him. We praise him by thanking him. And when we're on our knees, we hallow his name by thanking him and loving him and telling him we're thankful for who he is. He's our creator. He's Jehovah. He'll always be who he is. And you can rest in that. Boy, when you start praying like that, it becomes intimate right away, doesn't it? And that closeness that God wants to have with you can be established immediately because you're not talking to the brick wall anymore. You're not talking to the floor or the carpet. You're not talking to your pillow. You're not talking to the air. You are talking to a heavenly Father who loves you because he's your Father and you're his child. He wants a closeness to you. He doesn't dangle it over you like a carrot, you know, and or like a little toy. He's not teasing you. And you try to jump to get closeness to God, and God says, oh, no, you almost had it, almost. God doesn't do that. He doesn't play with us. He wants to be close. And he tells you how you can be close. He says, you come to me. You remember I'm your Father. You say, hallowed, praise, thank you. You're my Creator, you're my God, you're my King. You won't change. Even though I change, you won't. You're Jehovah, you're a Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh means that God provides. He's already provided. He's provided salvation in Christ. Does everybody get saved who's ever been born? Is everybody going to get saved? No. But he's already provided salvation as a way through Christ for everybody to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so he's Jehovah Jireh. His promise is that when mankind receive the gospel and the Holy Spirit brings conviction, that he will forgive anybody. That's his promise. He won't leave anybody behind. If you come to him, his promise is that you can know that he'll provide. He will provide a way for you. He'll always provide for you. It says in Matthew chapter 6, which is here, verse number 33, seek ye first. This is a promise, by the way. I love this promise. Maybe you should note this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jehovah Jireh. He will provide. The word shall means he will provide. And when you pray, you remember that he will provide. When you're on your knees, you remember we change. We're fickle. We make mistakes. We're doing good. We're doing bad. God doesn't do that. He will always provide. He will always be faithful. Thank you for who you are, God. You're Jehovah Jireh, and you'll always be Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Shema. Jehovah Shema means I'm there. Oh, man, this is one of my favorites. I'm there. Where? Yeah, he's there. Will he always be there? Yes. Is there any time, church, whenever you can go to God and he's not going to be there? No, when you go to him with a heart that's humble, this manner, he's there. Jehovah Shema. Jehovah Rapha. I am that I am. Jehovah, I am that I am. I will always be who I will always be. Jehovah Rapha, the great healer. We've experienced his healing power, haven't we? Not only in our spirit when he saved our soul, but we've watched him heal. And we can go on and on. His names, this is who he is. His name is who his character is. And when we go to our knees, we hallow, we praise, we thank him for who he is. He's our Father. Can you think about that? You know, I just gave you a few. Think about that. That's your Father. Your Father is God. And when we get on our knees, we pray, Father, you're my Father. You know, I think that maybe, it seems to me that God would want us to start our time with him in prayer, because when we do this, we're not thinking about ourselves anymore. We're thinking about who he is. And our spirit changes. And we're more prepared to pray. So I think that part is there. But I also think that it's clear in the scripture that God inhabits the praises of his people. And when we start praying this way, he shows up. And he's there. He'll always show up. You never have to wonder, I wonder if God's going to show up. My kids sometimes have to wonder, is dad going to let us go to the park? Is dad, in a sense, is dad going to show up, And they might have to wonder, but we don't. Not with our Heavenly Father, he'll always show up. So our prayer, it begins by going to God, understanding that we're not going to get trapped in a routine or a rut. You ever been trapped in a rut with your prayer life? Well, you don't have to raise your hand, but I pretty much know we all have. We've been stuck in the rut with our prayer life. I mean, we get on our knees and it's like a ritual, sort of like a routine. It loses its meaning. And whenever prayers lose their meaning that way, then guess what? We stop praying. And then we just don't pray. Maybe 2 minutes. And we're getting on our knees and we spend a couple minutes in prayer when it's a routine or a ritual. But even then, there's times when we forget to pray. Ah, no big deal. You know, no big deal. Yeah. So we see that, you know, our prayer time isn't, you know, isn't that intimate. So we aren't chiseling out the time anymore to do it. And it might be this morning that you've not really learned these things. And you say, well, I don't really know how to pray. And so when I go to my knees, you know, I'm like, I don't really know how to pray. So I just, dear God, you know, please help me to do better and help me to have some strength. And we pray a few sentences that way and then we stop. But when we pray this way, and we could pray for a long time. Friend, you can pray a long time just thanking Him for who He is. As our Creator, our God, our Savior, our Father. And we start our prayers, and this brings an intimacy between us and God. It's not a vain repetition. We're not saying, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're saying, Father, I love you. We're saying, Father, you're my Father, and you're my God, and you're my King. And I just want you to know that I love you. I just want you to know that I need you, and that without you I can do nothing. And not only did you create me, but you want to be close to me. And we pray this way, and God hears our prayer. And it's as though we can hear the voice of God when we're on our knees and God shows up and we can hear Him whisper in our ear as He says, I love you, my son. I love you, my daughter. And we sense His presence because there's a closeness there once again. Don't you want that? Don't you want to have that closeness to Him? It's not just words anymore. There's a real closeness there because we've came to Him this way. And it might seem like, well, you know, this praying like that, it seems kind of strange to me. No, why don't we try it? Why don't we get on our knees and we empty our hearts and we empty our minds of all the things that are going on in life and just say, Father, I love you. Father, thank you for who you are. And just pray like that for a little while and see what happens. I mean to tell you what, God's going to show up. It's intimate. It's close. It's personal. Remember whenever you were dating your wife, guys? Ladies, remember when you were dating your man? We didn't have to have long, you know, deep conversations, did we? I mean, we pretty much, this was okay. I mean, we just sit down, look at each other, and I love you. You know, you see that closeness that's there? You know, sometimes my wife and I, whenever we were dating, we would just look at each other. We would just sit and look at each other. And we still do that. When there's a closeness there, that's what we do. Because we're just taken. We're captivated by the one that we love. Our heart is given to them. You see? And God wants that with you. He wants that kind of a closeness. And that's why we come to Him this way. Listen, church, we got to get back to this. We got to get back to this. We got to get back on our knees and come into God with this kind of passion, with this kind of love. And He desperately wants that with us. He wants to have that closeness. Go to Psalm 22. What it says in verse number 3. But thou art, say it, holy. That's what hallowed means. Hallowed means holy. Verse 3. Thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the what? Praises of Israel. Whenever you go to God and you recognize Him for who He is, that He is holy. And you praise Him for who He is as your holy heavenly Father who loves you. He's given himself for you, and he wants to be close to you. The Bible says he inhabits that. He shows up. He's there. And he'll touch you. That's what Matthew chapter 6. You don't need to turn back there. But remember, it says that when you pray like this, then he'll bless you. He wants to bless your life. Listen, church, I want you to be blessed. I'm tired of going to my knees and going through the motions. I'm tired of it. But I'm certain that you are too. But here's how we stop that. We get out of that terrible routine. Is that we're intimate with him again. And we go to our knees and we tell him who he is. And we're thankful. We say thank you for who you are, my God. And he'll show up. And you know what we've done at that point? Are you ready? Because this is my last thing I'm going to say. You know what we've done at that point? We started. That's all we've done. We started. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Here's what we did. We started. So be here for the next service because I'm going to tell you what's next. Okay? I'm going to tell you why sometimes we don't get answers to our prayers. Because it's what we'll see in the next part of this passage. Father, this morning, we thank you for your faithfulness, God, your goodness. Lord, we think about prayer. We think about who you are. God, you are Jehovah. Lord, you are Elohim. You are El Elyon. God, you're all of these things and more. Help us this morning to remember. Help us to thank you and praise you and worship you for who you are. Help our hearts to be in tune with you as we get on our knees and we seek your face. Help us to have a closeness with you again. I pray for the church. You'd encourage your people this morning. I pray you'd help them to get on their knees again because you're there. Help them to have faith, God, in what we've learned again this morning. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.